I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Midlife Mavericks. I am your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you are here. If this is your first time listening, I talk to experts, I do solo episodes, all about how to make the second chapter of your life in midlife the best, most kick-ass time of your life. And I have to say, I am so excited to announce I woke up this morning to find out that Midlife Mavericks is the number one podcast for 90 Best Midlife Women Podcasts in 2024. I am super excited about that. If you have not done so, if you could, I would love you to go like the podcast, subscribe, leave a review, because that's going to help other women in midlife find this podcast, and we can create a group of amazing, inspiring, kick-ass women. You can find out more about me at allison-jacobson.com. And next Wednesday, January 17th, if you are interested in busting through any plateaus in business and wealth you have, I am offering a free live masterclass, Uncover Your Success Blocks, Breakthrough Plateaus in Business and Wealth in 2024. You can sign up for this live Zoom in the link in the show notes, and I will post it there. And it is next Wednesday, live January 17th, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time. So as you know, I always have on guests who are either doing incredible things in midlife and or experts who can help us. And I learned about this next guest through another podcast guest I had on, and she talks about menopause. Now, like I've said before, I didn't go through a lot of the symptoms of many people, but man, this is a juicy, juicy topic with so much stuff I did not know. So Jean Andrus, she is the menopause guru. Jean's been coaching, writing, and speaking about menopause for over a decade. She's the author of the internationally best-selling I Just Want to Be Me Again, and the host of the podcast and the TV show Menopause Matters. Her approach to resolving menopause symptoms is wildly esoteric, rooted in her own blend of coaching known as menopause mastery coaching, bolstered by hypnotherapy, Reiki, yogic breathwork, and a love for science and anthropology. Jean, thank you so much for being on.
Allison, it is so great to be here.
You know, I absolutely love. So last week for my listeners, we did a pre-interview, and I do that with my guests, but usually it's 15, 20 minutes. And Jean and I started talking, and it was literally an hour, and it could have been 2 hours, 3 hours. And I got off and I went walking with my girlfriend, and I'm like, oh my God, you're going to have to listen to this episode. This is incredible stuff. So I am so excited to be on. Jean, let's start with, how did you get to be the menopause guru?
So I was 48, and that was 20 years ago now. I can't believe it, but it was. And I was going through perimenopause. My symptoms weren't the normal ones. It was anger, depression, and low libido. You can imagine what toll that took on both my marriage and my career. But no one said the word. No one said perimenopause. No one said change of life. No one said anything. Everyone just said, oh, if you're having any problems, let me know. What problems? Okay, I'm pissed off at everybody. But I didn't know what it was. So my marriage fell apart. I lost my house. I changed jobs because I could no longer stay in the one I was in. I started traveling for work heavily. And my life just basically fell apart. I almost lost my relationship with my son over my divorce, and it was just a big old mess. So I decided it could either kill me, because I was literally eating myself to death, and I was so depressed that suicidal thoughts were starting to creep in. Never got really bad, but they were starting to creep in. And I said, I can either let this kill me, or I can let it be the best thing that ever happened to me. And I decided on the latter. So I did a bunch of research. I got myself healthy. I managed to pick a diet and exercise plan, because of the way I was traveling, that actually managed to tame a lot of the symptoms I was feeling. And there's a lot we can talk about around anger. I probably should do a whole episode of my own podcast around that anger. But as I went through it, I started to get healthy, and I said, I need to help other women get healthy in this part of their lives. And so I started working, and I started working as a personal trainer and a health coach. And I was working a lot with women, and a lot with women who were 40 and above. And I started seeing all the same things coming up time after time after time. Changes in their moods, changes in who they felt they were, changes in their body, changes in their minds, the way they thought, the way they felt, their spiritual life, their relationships. It was changing every piece of them. And the common thread was menopause. And so I started studying. I said that science thing. I was born at the right time, because the internet is here, and I spend hours going down rabbit holes on the internet until I find out whether or not something is related to our hormonal balance. And what I've found is that 90% of the time, what's going on in our lives is almost always related to our hormonal balance. So I'm talking a lot more these days about woo and the woo and the magic of menopause, but it all goes back to this change, this big shift in our hormonal balance that allows us to become somebody that we weren't before. And so I said, wait a minute, people need to know, women need to know, they need the information, they need the support, they need the techniques, they need to understand that this is normal and does not require them, in most cases, to go to a doctor and find hormones, or go to a doctor and find antidepressants, or whatever they seem to want to be giving out this week, because all of those things have tremendous side effects that get in the way of us living our healthiest, wellest, bestest lives.
Jean, when did the light bulb go on for you that this was hormonal? Like, you know, the way you described it, all of the issues that were going on with your life, and when did it click in?
It's been a process. But I was working with one of my training clients one morning in the gym, and we were talking about her hot flashes, and we were talking about herbal remedies for them. And she is HR at tremendous risk for HR positive breast cancer. So she could not take anything. So I started researching what I could do to help her. And that's when the light bulbs started going off. And that was probably 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And from there, I started researching and put in literally thousands of hours of researching symptoms and why they're there and how they relate to our hormonal systems, our endocrine systems, how they relate to each other. So I am well aware that it's not just estrogen and progesterone, but they have inner relationships with cortisol, insulin, thyroid, testosterone, dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, epinephrine, or adrenaline. All of these systems are interrelated, and estrogen seems to have been the thing that during our reproductive years was holding everything together. And then it drops and everything starts working differently. And so every system in our body, every cell in our body works differently now than it did when we were in our 30s.
Well, I said I didn't have real menopause symptoms, but we talked about something last week that I think every woman listening to this show is going to relate to, and who might say, I haven't had menopause symptoms, but I'm thinking I might have dementia or something. Talk to me about that cyclic serial tasking, because this just blew my mind.
So here's the thing. There is an area in our forebrain, and I never remember the name because it's big, long, complicated, and I have the noun issue. And it's a noun. But it's in our forebrain, and it controls the ability to do what we've typically thought of as multitasking, but I call serial cyclic tasking. And women get this automatically, pretty much. So if you are, let's say you come home from work and you've brought your 4-year-old or your 5-year-old home from preschool, and maybe you have a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old who's working on homework, and now you're going to make dinner and you've got a few chores to do in the house. So you start the spaghetti, you chop up the onions and the peppers and you throw them in a pot and you say, okay, now I'm going to go check and see what the toddler is doing in the playroom. Okay, cool. I'm going to go in. I'm going to throw a load of laundry into the laundry, into the washer. Do that. You check on the older child, making sure they're doing their homework. You stop and you let the dog out the door. You go back and bingo, the onions and the peppers are done and you're ready to put in the ground beef. And then you go back. You check on the you walk by, you check the toddler's fine. They're all watching TV. You go in and you put the, and you check on the laundry. You put the fabric softener in. You go to check on the older one, and then you stop and maybe get the mail or let the dog in, whatever. And you know exactly where you are every step of the way. Here comes menopause. Here comes menopause. Here comes, sorry. But now your estrogen is dropping and that area of your forebrain isn't working as well. So you go in and you start your spaghetti, just like you've done countless times in your life. You start the spaghetti and you go in. Now your children are a little older. So you go in and you check on the older one and make sure they're doing their homework. Except that when you walk into their room, you see a bunch of laundry that they need doing. So you pick up the laundry, you forget to check on what they're doing. And you go down to the laundry machine, except the doorbell rings. So you run to the doorbell. And while you're there, you walk out to the mailbox and back. And then you go in and check on the teenager, or maybe you text the teenager at sports practice. And you put your phone down, which now you won't ever remember where you just put your phone down, by the way. And you stop to do one more thing and you go back in and it's been 15 minutes and the onions are burned. So you start over. And then you go in and you say, okay, what was I doing with that laundry? Oh, I put the laundry in the hall. So you go into the hall and you get the laundry. You start to get the laundry that you've dropped on the floor, except you walk into the hall and you've walked through a doorway. So now you don't remember what you were doing. And all of a sudden you're standing there with everything in your house in complete and total disarray because you can't remember from one thing to the next what you were doing. This is cyclic serial tasking as a menopausal woman. It just doesn't work the same. And so we need to create strategies that allow us to work through this differently.
And you're so spot on about this. And it reminds me of the article I read in the New York Times, and I talk about this a lot with my community and also my friends, is the mental load, right? We could kind of, give, some of those projects and activities to our spouse or our kids, but it's still us thinking of all of that, right? We're the mental air traffic controller. And as soon as that air traffic controller goes haywire, we feel so overwhelmed. And now I know why I feel overwhelmed, because my brain's not working like it used to.
It doesn't work like it used to. And this made sense for us. If you think about it, this is where the anthropology comes in. It makes sense in terms of a hunter-gatherer tribe existence, where you work together with your sister wives. They probably didn't have the same husbands, but or same men, but you all work together as a community to get all of this done. Then when you hit menopause, what likely happened, first of all, because of mortality rates, only one or two women in a generation reached menopause, but they became the wise women of the tribe. And they became the ones who kind of lived by themselves and maybe did gathering herbs and making of herbal medicines. And they were the healers, because their brains weren't working in the same way.
They got to sit back and enjoy life.
I'm not sure that anyone did.
True.
In hunter-gatherer tribes.
True.
But they had a different purpose in the tribe. And likely they were the wise women who sort of echoed the same role that probably the few hunters who made it to that same stage of life were treated with immense respect and immense, they were immensely important to the tribe. And if you think about, why we would develop a menopause, because of the thousands of mammal species on Earth, they know of, I think it's six right now, that have a true menopause, where they stop with their period, stop their fertility period, and live for an extended period of time. Want to guess who the others are? Because they're all in one group.
I would say gorillas.
Nope.
No, really?
No.
Really?
You will not believe this, but they are cetipods, whales.
Really?
Really?
I'm so surprised. I would have thought it was the gorillas and the monkeys and who we all evolved
and
from.
A lot of people think it would be elephants, because elephants do live a very long time.
True.
And they come close to it. The older female elephants don't stop much earlier than some, but it's not as extended a period. But the cetipods, the whales that live in groups, have developed the same thing, where the matriarch of the pod is the one who knows where the food is at what time of year and leads the migration and knows the routes. And that's her job, while the younger women are still learning it, but they still have responsibilities to their calves.
Right. That's fascinating.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, and then here's the next point you brought up, which is another one where I thought, oh my gosh, I'm having Alzheimer's or dementia.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of your brain, you say, where you can't remember names.
Nouns.
Yeah. Nouns. But
nouns.
Oh,
I extend beyond,
okay.
Extends beyond names. But most right-handed people are controlled primarily by their left brain. Our primary verbal center for most humans is in the left brain. There is a secondary verbal center in the right brain, and it's stimulated by estrogen. And it seems like we store nouns there, the names of things, the names of people, the names of places. It's not so much that we don't know how to get from here to our favorite restaurant. We just may not remember the name of our favorite restaurant or the name of our favorite waiter or the name of our best friend that we're meeting there. Or the name of the favorite dish we have there. Excuse me. So that's the nouns that we lose over time. They're there. And if you just sort of relax and let it happen, you'll find those nouns. They're there. It's just it may take longer to retrieve them and longer to create new pathways so that they're there. And what happens is in our busy world and our busy lives, we forget something simple like our best friend's name, and we freak out. We say, early onset Alzheimer's. Oh my God, I'm going to be in a nursing home by Friday.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Number one, it doesn't progress that fast. Number two, there are things that we can do in our lives to make that less likely. But number three, this is normal. This is the way we work. And if we relax and accept that these things are changing and accept that we need strategies to deal with it sometimes, we find ourselves coming into this place where we just relax about it. Let me just throw some statistics out here. So early onset Alzheimer's is considered earlier than 65, I believe. And it is about 3% of the population who get Alzheimer's, which is growing, but now it tends to be way, way out there, you know, the 90-year-olds. But for those who get Alzheimer's at a relatively young age and have to deal with this. So if you take that and you say 50-50, we're now talking about 50 men, 50 women, even though that's actually not the correct ratio. We're now talking about 1 in 1,000, 1 in 5,000 who actually gets early onset Alzheimer's in our 50s. So when you take that, if you don't have real risk factors for it, relax. There's all kind, number one, relax. Number two, there are things that we can do to minimize our risk for Alzheimer's. And that's something that I help my coaching clients with because it's part of the health thing that I do. So.
Well, and that's what I wanted to bring up because I love what you're talking about, that there are, first of all, to relax about this and not freak out, but that there are strategies to help yourself that aren't drugs.
Yes. And that's the thing. When I talk about menopause as a gift, we kind of haven't talked about this part of it, but the big thing, kind of when I talked about the way the women were treated probably in these hunter-gatherer tribes, but really here's what happened. As younger women, we need a community to help us get through that time when we have small children and now a job and everything else. So, and prior to that, we had a house to keep and social obligations and community obligations. We've never not worked. We just change how we work now. So in that period of time, we need each other and we need men to bring that child up. Now, I know that's not real feminist talking. And we've gotten better as a society of helping single mothers. But if you ask any single mother, and I never was one, so this comes from reports. If you ask any single mother, if she doesn't have a support structure in place, she is struggling big time.
100%.
So, So that support structure was really important. And how do we get that? We get that by being oriented towards other people and making sure that as they help meet our needs, we help meet their needs. And sometimes that's need for love or sex or helping hand when needed or whatever it is. It's a trade-off. It's a silent trade. It's not a transactional thing, but it's that we know as women that we are better off if we have support through this time of our lives. So estrogen drives that too. Estrogen says, be a person who is in relationship in these close-knit helping relationships with other women. What we translate that into in our early 40s, and you can see this all over the internet, women in their 43, at the age of 43, I hate to be, you know, cliched, but I see it all the time. Women at the age of around 43 to 45 will come on and they'll say, you know what I just realized? I realized I've been a people pleaser for the last 40 years of my life, sometime when they were a teenager, and they started doing this to attract boys or attract a mate. Again, I don't want to be cliched about it, but you know, some women are not driven towards males, but it's the whole thing. Here we are. We're going through this this thing, and we say, I don't want to be that way anymore. And we unfortunately, we think that this is like this grand revelation that no one else has ever had. But the truth of the matter is, this is a biological reaction to the lessening of estrogen. And it says, you don't need to be the person who goes along to get along anymore because you're beyond that.
And that's exactly my community of women, my coaching clients, who are saying to me, what about me? Now what?
What about me?
Right.
And so what I think of ourselves as our focus as being a giant circle in layers. So in the innermost layer of that circle are the things that we think are most important. And from the time that we started into this period of our lives where we were reproductively active, other people, jobs, children, households, all were in the middle of that. And then a little bit farther out, maybe pets and community activities, and a little farther out and a little farther out, our extended family and the girlfriends we had in high school or whatever. And then way, 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 way out here on the edge of the circle is us. And we're always last.
Yes. Yes.
We're always last.
Yes.
And we're always giving up what's important to us for everybody else.
Oh,
so and we give up hobbies that we had as a youngster. We give up interests that we might click on, or we give up. I gave up reading. I'm an addicted reader, and I gave up reading for years. I didn't pick up a book.
Well, it's interesting that you say this, because as many of my listeners know, my husband has primary progressive MS. I have a 25-year-old son with intellectual disabilities. My mother lives with me. And so I was very concerned about losing myself in those multiple roles of being a caregiver. And I consciously chose, I'm not going to lose me. And so I always, I go on vacations with other people. I do things by myself because, yeah, it's easy to let yourself fall off that cliff.
So here we are in menopause and we're out here. And all of a sudden we can come into the middle of our own circle. We come into the middle of our circle and we get to say what we're going to leave in that circle with us. I see a lot of women saying, job, I'm not where I want to be in my career, and I don't care if I ever get there. I see a lot of women saying, this is important to me. I'm going to put it in a closer circle. My interests, my life, my values are all going to go into the middle of the circle. Now, the one thing that I have to say is that you are fertile until you've been without a period for a year. So until you reach full menopause, which is that 1 year anniversary of the first day of your last period, your body could decide for some unknown reason that it wants to be fertile again. And you could have an infant. And I'm not saying to throw your infant or your toddler age children or your 25-year-old intellectually disabled child out of the middle of your circle. My grandkids are in there. I don't see them that often, but they're in there. They're thing, they're kids, they're people I would do anything for. Right. I would, you know, put exactly. anything aside for. But I also put my own interests in there so that if Grammy goes to visit the grandkids in Vermont, I'm going to schedule a day where I go skiing or I go
yes.
to Burlington to visit one of my dearest friends who lives there.
Yes.
So it's not like we are now saying, oh, we're going to sacrifice everything for this person, for these other people, and we're going to keep ourselves on the outside.
It's such a good analogy.
It's the gift.
Yep.
This is the gift. The gift is yourself, your own interests, your own passions, your purpose. I discovered my purpose at the age of 54 when I started saying, oh my God, women need to know about this.
It is. Women, it's a secret and it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
You don't use the word menopause, you know, in your title. I do. And it's still a taboo. People still like back off sometimes, well, especially guys.
Is it a taboo or is it just because it's such a mystery? I mean,
a mystery because it's a taboo.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I do think though, and we talked about this as well, that menopause is not focused on in medical schools. It's, you know, it's just not thought about from a medical perspective. So how in God's name, if your doctor isn't even talking to you about it, of course you're not going to be talking about it among friends.
20 years ago, I was living in one spot and I had a gynecologist and she knew I had broken up with my husband. And she said, before you get sexually active, you need to have a test to see whether you're still fertile. Now, I admit that that should have twigged something in my brain. It didn't, because no one said the word. And because we believe from earliest menopausal women are old, they're near death. They're not 48. Oh my God, I'm not even halfway through my life. We don't think of ourselves as ready for it. When I talk to women, I said something to one of the girls that my girls, she's in her 40s now, that grew up with my son. And she was talking about something that was going on with her. And I said, you and I need to have a conversation because I think you're starting to cross into my territory. She says, oh no, I'm not ready for that. She was 43. Yes, she's in perimenopause.
Yeah.
We don't think of ourselves. We think of ourselves as being in the prime of our lives, and we are.
Amen to
this
that.
Is really the prime of our lives, because we have the time, the energy, the ability to focus on ourselves if we support our bodies through this. So I talk all about hormonal balance in order to support our bodies as we go through this. So I do a lot of work around weight loss. If women are not happy with the way their weight has shifted, or the way weight is just coming on and they can't get rid of it. Weight is a thing. It just is. It's not some reason to hate your body. It's not some reason to think you're way off. It's just your hormones changing and making it harder for you to be in the body that you really want to be in, the one that can do all the things that you want. So I look at weight loss as just a part of wellness, of getting through to being well. And if you decide that the weight you are is the weight you want to be, great. But you still need to support your hormones. And that comes through nutrition. It comes through exercise. It comes through stress management. It comes through not knowing that this is the thing that's happening to us.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. Do you suggest women get hormone level testing to see where everything's at?
Nope.
No. Okay.
No. Here's the thing. If you pay attention to your body, if you listen to what's going on, not just in your body, but in your emotions, in your mental processing, in your spirit, you know what's right, what was and what is. So I have a list of over 100 symptoms.
Really?
Some of them are weird. Almost no one will get all of them at once, because some of them are perimenopausal, some are postmenopausal, some are in that year where you don't have periods, some of them are diametrically opposed. So you can't have symptoms of really high estrogen and really low estrogen at the same time, but you can have other symptoms. So there's a progression. So if someone tells me what their symptoms are, very often I can pinpoint exactly what's going on, which hormones are out of balance, what's happening, where they're likely to be. And then we work with all of these tools, which is what nutrition and exercise and stress management, and oh, by the way, sleep, which is hugely important. And 90% of women have a period of a month or more of bad sleep, no sleep, for at least once during their menopause journey, from the time they're in early perimenopause on. So I work heavily with sleep. But if you know what all of those things are, you can say, oh, well, what's going to be the thing that's going to allow me to get the most estrogen produced out of my body? Okay, this is it. And sometimes it's supplements. Sometimes it's the way you exercise. I know people who are trying to lose weight are often, especially in this age, you know, they've known how to do it all their lives. So they cut their calories, they cut their fats, and they exercise. And they're up to 2 to 3 hours of heavy duty exercise, not just a week, but a day. They're down to less than 1200 calories, and they're cutting all the fat out of their diet, because they grew up just like I did, with that fat makes you fat mentality. What are they doing? They are driving their cortisol through the roof, their stress hormone. They are denying their body the fats that it needs to make the progestins that are the precursors, not just to cortisol, but to progesterone and estrogen and testosterone. So now all of those three tank. Cortisol, because of the way cortisol works in our bodies and in our adrenals where it's produced, everything says cortisol is the first thing we produce. So it takes everything that it's got and makes more cortisol.
Well, cortisol is our famine hormone. And what it says is, you're in a famine. What do we need to do to survive a famine? And what we do to survive a famine is we drop our metabolism to nothing. We tell our body, we up the insulin to escort all of the blood sugar that we get into fat cells so that when we totally run out of food, we've got plenty of fat to work with. And yet here we are in the land of plenty, so that when your body, when you finally say, I can't do this low fat, low sugar, low calorie thing anymore, you go and you eat and it just gets worse.
That is unbelievably smart and one of those so obvious, but nobody gets it.
Nobody gets it. Well, some people do. Some people do. And that's why keto has become so important. But what we don't realize yet is how keto kind of differs as we go through menopause. And what we don't see is this need to first get our cortisol levels under control so that so our stress levels are down, and that allows all of the things that we eat, the fats, and by the way, this is another thing that goes crazy, is cholesterol. When we talk about cholesterol and everybody is into this, let's drop our cholesterol as low as possible. And right now my doctor is saying if you've got heart issues, they want your cholesterol at 50, which I think is ridiculous. But when you drop your cholesterol is the thing, it's the precursor to the progestins, which are the progesterone, which is the precursor to progesterone, which is the precursor to cortisol, estrogen, and testosterone.
Wow.
Jean, so when you don't get the cholesterol you need, you can't make the things you need.
Jean, you are just such a wealth of information. You have to promise me that you're going to come back, because we can talk forever. But I first want to know, where can my listeners go to get those 100 symptoms?
Okay, the best place to go is menopausebooks.com, and to order yourself a copy of I Just Want to Be Me Again. You can order it in paperback, or you can order it as an ebook or as an Audible book.
All right. And I will absolutely put that link in the show notes. It's so revealing. It's such a light bulb that has gone on speaking to you about things that women just were like, oh my gosh, I'm falling apart. No, it's all because of menopause. Everything, all roads lead to menopause.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing. I started out on a road that was likely to be a very difficult road through menopause, because it took a long time. I didn't finish till I was in my mid to late 50s. And I started out with those awful anger and depression and low libido. And I was likely to have way more symptoms, but I treated my body right. I got in shape. I got it. You know, I started eating right. I started exercising right. I fell in love with exercising. And so I really want to invite your listeners, if the health issues are there, if the emotional issues are there. I have some programs right now that are based in hypnosis and Reiki, and they're doing amazing things in just 5 sessions. They're truly amazing, life-changing fixes for specific symptoms. And I'm excited about them because they're using the powers that we have in our minds, the powers we have in our energy systems, to really reintegrate ourselves with who we want to be.
Well, I know I'm going to go check that out because I'm such a fan now of yours. I'm fangirling all over. And to get to those courses, it's menopauseguru.com.
Yes. If you go to menopauseguru.com, you will see ways to contact me and get all that information. I always say, come talk to me for half an hour or an hour and let's see what's going on and make some recommendations you from where you are, which I usually say is menopause misery, to what I call menopause magic.
Menopause magic. Jean Andrus, thank you so much for joining us on Midlife Mavericks. I will absolutely have you back. And until
Sounds
next,
great.
Until next time, everybody, have a great week. Bye now.